On this episode of the Reflex Blue Show, I talk to AIGA National Co-President and owner of Oxide Design Company, Drew Davies.
What we're doing.
Drew Davies, superstar designer Drew Davies, registered trademark Andrew Davies. Welcome back to the Reflex Blue Show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Donovan. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's kind of fun because the show that was immediately before this one, we actually had former AIGA National President Debbie Millman on again.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And now you are national co-president of AIGA, or about to be, or soon to be.
Already started, Donovan, I'm happy to say. Honored to be serving the organization. And couldn't be more excited about my partner in crime sharing the helm with Sean Adams from Adams Morioka in Hollywood, California.
And he's actually already been the president before. I think he was the president when we last had him on the show. So you got like you brought a ringer in with you.
Right, right. It's going to make everyone's life a lot easier, and he and I will have a good time sharing the duties here at the top.
Now, actually, I want to say back when we had the Be a Design Cast, we were promoting to get Drew Davies on the National AIGA Board years ago. I mean, we were the first, I think the first people pushing that.
Yep. You were some of my earliest supporters. I appreciate that.
And we didn't realize you'd actually be, like, taking over the thing. I mean, what led, I mean, and this is like a co-presidency. So for those out there that don't understand, such as myself, what's the difference? Like, how did this come about? Like, all of a sudden it's like, I get an email from AIGA and it says Drew Davies is co-president. I'm like, well, I don't know what that is. Is that like part of a vice president? Is that like a secretary of state? Is that
right? Right. It's at the national level. This division is actually unprecedented, as you probably know from being on AIGA Nebraska's board and watching various other boards.
I've seen a lot of the local boards do right. Co-presidents. I think Nebraska even did that a few years ago.
Right. So it's happened at the chapter level multiple times over the last couple of decades, and but unprecedented at the national level until this point. Really, what happened is it just made really good sense. So as you probably know, the Deborah Adler had been elected to be the president of the national board. And she, in the midst of what's going on in terms of the change of the organization, she really felt like it was her causes that she signed onto the board to support were emerging designers, entrepreneurism, women in design. And she really felt like she could support those causes more effectively, not being at the helm in the midst of the kind of strategic transition that the organization's going through. So what we did as a group was look at what the best way we could navigate the waters of the significant change the organization's going through as we celebrate the centennial and move into the next 100 years, and looked at how we could most effectively have all the right people in all the right places to do that. So when Rick Griffey, the executive director, sat down with Doug Powell, the former president, and Deborah Adler and talked over the situation, they came up with a solution that involved this co-presidency scenario. And they asked Sean Adams and I if we would serve in those dual roles where we just shared the responsibilities. And basically, from his lengthy experience and being a president before and my more recent experience at the chapter level and working more closely with members and chapters, both of us being able to help get the organization sort of together on the same page as we move into the second century of AIGA.
What is the, is there a difference between the roles of you two, or are you guys just starting to figure this out right now? Like, are you going to handle one part, he's handling another?
Yeah, we're just starting to figure it out. There aren't really specified roles per se that we're divvying up this half of the responsibilities are yours and this half are yours. We'll sort of figure it out as it goes along. It just seemed like a really good time to have a couple of different levels of experience in terms of connection to the organization. Here at the top to help everybody sort of move forward.
Now you mentioned that part of this came about because there's a big change coming about through AIGA. Is this, and I think I've talked to you briefly off mic and stuff many times over the last few years. What is the, for our listeners there, what is the change that they're looking to make that required, you know, a little bit more effort than they thought of before?
Well, there's just a significant strategic shift going on in AIGA. What we're looking to do is stay at the forefront of what's happening in the industry of design and really out in the world of professional associations and the like. So The membership of AIGA several years ago actually drafted and accepted a mandate for 2014, which was a discussion about really where the organization should be headed over the several years leading up to our centennial in 2014. And it's just a look at how really the organization of AIGA is shifting away from a top-down model and changing to a really ground-up model. So our 67 chapters are really what leads all of the development and the content and the excitement in the organization, where the national organization just serves as a sort of facilitator of all of that communication rather than a generator of content or telling the chapters what they need to be doing.
Now, since you've actually been on the national board now for a couple of years, how long has this been going on? Like, I mean, a lot of this behind the scenes, people who aren't familiar or don't follow AIGA or just kind of follow it briefly or just kind of members, but or just dealing with their local, how long has the national group been making this shift from the top down to the ground up?
It's been over the last several years. Like I mentioned, it started really at that idea, this mandate for 2014 that was adopted by the membership. That was a good handful of years ago. And there's been the board of directors in each iteration along the way, plus the executive team, Rick Griffey and Denise Wood, have been moving the organization in that direction ever since that decision was made by the membership about where we needed to go. So that's been in place. There's been all kinds of strategic planning being done on multiple levels with members, with thought leaders, with chapter leaders, et cetera, about what we need to be. As we're celebrating our centennial, what does AIGA need to be for the next 100 years to be relevant to designers and then showing really the value of design to the rest of the world?
No, that's great, and we look forward to seeing this. Now, are you still going to be handling your Design for Democracy role? Because you're the director of the AIGA initiative over the last couple of years, I think, to, I guess, is it modernized ballot designs?
Yes. Yes and yes is the answer. I've been serving as the National Design Director of AIGA Design for Democracy since 2007. And it's really the initiative that I was able to undertake in full force as I signed on to the national board. And it'll be an endeavor that I continue to work towards even as president and then after my presidency is over. So the intent of that Design for Democracy is has some broad goals, but they center around AIGA's tenet of demonstrating the value of design to the broader public. So we do that Design for Democracy through modernizing ballot design, modernizing voter registration, even polling place signage design.
Now, I know, like, on the AIGA, we've talked to a lot of national board members over the years, and everyone has kind of, like, their little thing that they do. I think Sean Adams brought in the big design gala and stuff. Has yours always just been the Design for Democracy, or has there been something else that you've been kind of spearheading as well?
No, it's really been Design for Democracy. That's my certainly my personal cause, and it's been a great opportunity to be able to support it through being on the national board as well. So the only thing that'll shift here as I take on the co-presidency is that my duties will expand to include some of the oversight. right. Hanging out in a very secret wood-paneled room at AIGA headquarters.
Creating a shadow government.
Right. Being able to oversee the strategic planning process that we'll undertake, really finalize over the next 3 to 6 months, involve a lot of input from the chapters and chapter leaders and the membership, and give ourselves a really clear direction forward for the next decade and the next century.
Now, the other thing, and this wasn't real clear in the email that I got, was that normally the presidency is kind of like a 2-year commitment. Are you just on a 1-year kind of thing, or is this like a 2-year co-presidency, or is this kind of something that kind of came up quickly? They didn't really know what to do. They kind of set this as kind of a stopgap motion, and then they're going to go from there.
Yeah, the timing was a little bit unusual, certainly off of what normally happens, but my term, I'll serve out the rest of what would have been my 1-year board term as co-president with Sean Adams, and he will fill the rest of the 2-year term as president after I step down in a year. So this presidency will go on for 2 years, half of it with Sean and I as co-presidents, and the other half of it with Sean filling out the rest of that 2-year term to complete the 2 years that would have been spoken for before.
Oh, so there's no like cage match needed to fight out for that last year. Sean's just winning already. Okay. Right.
Yeah. I just ceded to him. It felt like easier than getting beat up in a cage by Sean.
It feels like he can fight dirty. Yeah. I would. He looks like the guy that knows what he's doing. So it's probably a good move.
You do not want to be trapped in an octagon with Sean Adams.
Okay. And then so he'll actually be the president at the 100th anniversary, or does the 100th move, will that actually occur while you're in there as well?
We'll start, celebration of the centennial will actually start essentially this October. Things will really get going at the start of 2014 actively. So my presidency will extend through a good portion of the 2014 centennial celebrations, and then he'll wrap that up. And it works out perfectly because Sean Adams was really passionate and motivated about the centennial anyway, and the amount of work he was going to be doing was practically presidential level even before he signed on to president. He's been behind the scenes working a lot towards making the centennial great.
Now, when you're saying October, does that just happen to coincide because there's the big AIGA design conference?
Yeah.
In Minneapolis that's here, what is it, October 10th? I just booked my room yesterday, right. So...
Yeah, Head, Heart, Hand conference will happen in October in Minneapolis. That is, you know, AIGA has essentially two major events each year, and one of them is the design conference that happens yearly in October, and the other one is the leadership retreat for chapter leadership that happens in June each year. And those are really benchmarks for us through the year in terms of when to really kick off programming, get everybody together in one place, get everything started, get everybody passionate about what's happening next.
And speaking about this place thing, I noticed that both of these events are being held in Minneapolis. And I think that partly because of the previous president who just rolled off, Doug Powell. So now that you're kind of taken over, are we gonna get something finally here in Omaha? I mean, we had the leadership retreat here once. You know, I was happy to help bring that here, but going to get the national retreat here? What can we make happen here? Omaha's hip. It's happening. It's huge.
I hope you're not recording this part, but secretly I'll tell you that Doug Powell has some sort of death grip on the organization, and he will not give up until he makes sure that the headquarters are moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I think he's moving to Austin.
Right. It's part of his devious plan to throw people off the scent for his big picture plan to move everything to Minneapolis. Don't worry, I'm sure he'll get back to Minneapolis once the headquarters show up there.
Okay, well, I mean, that's within driving distance, and New York, let's be honest, really isn't.
Right.
So, things happen in the Midwest. So, we'll be right back, and we'll talk to Drew Davies about what else he's doing other than this big co-presidency, conspiracy, octagon fighting. Now, other than this AIGA thing, you still run like Oxide Design Company,
right?
And you guys are celebrating. Well, you guys are just about to celebrate your, is it 12 years?
12 years, yeah.
Because you guys started up, I think, 6 months before I did here. Yeah, so yeah. I'm pretty easy to keep track of it. On your 10-year, you actually wrapped an entire bus,
right?
Like an Omaha Metro bus, and you did. And I know you guys did a good job with the branding of Metro there. Although, if the buses would show up on time, I think it'd be better than the branding. But that's here nor there. But with the Oxide thing, and I thought it was a one-year thing, but I still see that bus because I think it's got a route that must go right by my office because I see it like once a week.
Yeah, I saw the bus on my way here this morning. It is still rolling the streets of Omaha.
I keep trying to tag it. It's a little too quick for me.
I know. We tried to convince people to tag an Oxide bus on Twitter, but getting photos of it is a little dangerous when you're driving around in your car trying to snap photos of a fast-moving bus.
Now, when is that? Is that bus going to... Are they just never going to paint over it? Or is it just waiting for somebody else to paint it to wrap it? Or are they waiting it to turn pink from all the sunlight?
We'll keep it on the streets as long as we can. We keep making arrangements with Metro Transit on keeping it on the streets, and we keep doing... an ongoing work with them, so far so good.
And besides that, you've got the giant neon sign at your office.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the only design agency? I know you're the only one in Omaha, but is there any other place around that you know of that has like what, 20-foot neon signs and buses wrapped? I mean, you guys are your five-person shop.
As far as I know. We were excited about the bus because we are the only design firm I know of in the country that has a bus wrap, for good or for bad.
Has this helped at all? I mean, do people like say, hey, I saw your bus, or is it more like it was an opportunity that was there?
Both. I get a lot of comments on it. Most of the people I talk to, especially if they're not really familiar with Oxide, the first thing they'll say when I bring up Oxide, they'll say, oh, I saw your bus. So something's working out there.
All right. Well, what's the next big plan? I mean, what moves? You could move from sign to bus. Is it a jet airliner? I mean, what is
that? It's not a bad idea, although we were more seriously considering a sort of Christo-style wrap of the First National Tower downtown. Instead, we just take Oxide pattern fabric and we just drape the entire 42-story building in it. And leave that up for a year and see how that does for us.
You know, Christo's been in town before.
Yeah,
though,
I know.
When I worked in-house at the railroad, I remember some lady coming down. They're like, Christo's up on the top floor. Because I guess he was trying to wrap some land that, of course, the railroad owns, because they own a lot of land.
Right.
So his business card, by the way, it looked like he just went to a print shop and it was just typed, yep. You know, there.
My wife got to meet him the other day. He's been back in town talking to the UP people, yep.
So he's been talking to this would have been when I was there, it was like 15 years ago.
Yep.
So he's been talking to UP people for...
Yeah, his projects go on for a long time, I think. There's a lot of planning stages.
Now, so wrapping a plane might be 15 years of planning, is what you're telling
me. Right, right.
Well, what's Oxide working on now that's exciting?
Boy, we're doing a lot of different things.
Well, what have you launched recently?
Yeah, that
we can
just
talk about?
By the time this airs, the event will have happened. But we've had another great year working with the Maha Music Festival. We do all their branding and event promotion. So that's a alternative rock fest that happens here in town, day long music fest that's been going on. This will be its fifth year.
Really, fifth year?
Yeah.
Now you guys have been working with. I know last year the work you guys did was great, and Garbage was the headliner, and that was the year that it kind of. I know it had been around 3 years, but that was the year, I think most people think that was the first year town.
They asked us to step in and rebrand the festival that last year, and it really gave them a sort of coming out party. So they've just been building off the success of last year. The headliner this year will be the Flaming Lips, so everybody's pretty excited about them coming to town and whatever sort of confetti cannons, flaming people, chicken heads, whatnot that'll happen. Who knows? I've only heard about the show. I've never seen it.
Oh, wow. And I'm told they don't do a lot of shows. Is that right?
That's right. They don't do a lot of shows, and they haven't done a lot of these the sort of summer festival circuit as well. So it's a really good get for the Maha folks.
Okay, well, sorry for all you listeners that missed it because it was probably a week or so ago. But I'm sure it was fantastic. And the other thing we want to talk about is you branded the college I taught a few years at, Metropolitan Community College here in Omaha. And that was actually just this last month.
Yeah, we had a great opportunity recently to work with Metropolitan Community College on a brand new identity, corporate identity. They'd been in one of those all too familiar situations where they had a kind of thrown together logo from the very start of when they opened up in the 70s that it slightly mutated over the 30 years following and ended up in about 40 different iterations that were showing up on everything across campus from signage to whatnot.
That explains a lot of what I've seen. Okay.
Right. So they figured out, there's some new leadership there. They figured out that it was time to finally get all that shored up and sort of put a single identity out into the world and fly under that banner. So we had a great time working with a really good team over there, developing a new identity that kind of showcases who they are now and who they want to be in the future.
Was your thought process different knowing that you were probably going to hand this project off to their in-house team and they were going to run with it than if you would have done all of the implementation yourself?
Not really. We hate to kind of hamstring work by assuming that it's not going to be in capable hands after we get done with it. So,
well, I'm not saying they're necessarily incapable, but you know that they're going to have to take something and build from it.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand, and I didn't mean they're incapable. It just we hate to assume that the identity should be anything less than it could be based on the fact that we won't be the ones working with it. So we really tried not to let that play a big part in developing the identity. So it ends up being that it's a fairly fluid dynamic identity that will require some design care as it gets implemented along the way. But we also worked with the team to develop a pretty solid set of guidelines that allow them to know kind of where the boundaries are of where that fluidity should end and keep the consistency that they've been lacking for three decades.
I can't believe that logo made it three decades, but then again, that does explain a lot, a lot of what's going on there. And now, this was something that was spurred about by like leadership changes, which I think a lot of marks were, you said?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. There had just been enough different changes there with various new people coming in, realizing the value of what a consistent identity would do for that college.
And how many, I mean, because they have, and their design program has been pretty good over the last few years. I know you've even hired a few students from there and stuff, so it's good to see that mark. Well, we're going to take one final break, and we'll be right back and wrap the show up. All right, well, we actually have our next guest lined up. So we're gonna do a thing where we're gonna ask you to forward a question to them.
Okay.
So we have the two guys that started up goodfuckingdesignadvice.com.
Okay.
And so I don't know what kind of questions, I don't know if you're familiar with them or not.
Yeah.
Okay, they're coming through town, they're speaking, and I guess they're swinging by here to record with us.
Okay.
So, and then hopefully by then, you know, by next week, we'll have the National AIGA office here as well.
Sure.
So that if you can wrestle that away from Doug Powell.
Yep.
So what Consider kind of questions would you ask the GFDA guys?
Let's see. GFDA guys. Two questions. What is the best color?
Okay. And there's End a correct question. Answer. I mean, all their stuff's in black, red, and white, so I have a feeling they're going to answer this correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, correctly for them may not be the absolute correct answer, which
I
have
black, now. White, and red are the correct answer. What is the correct answer?
And I can't tell you that. They'll hear this podcast in advance, and they'll know the answer, and I don't think that would be fair. I'll write it down on a sheet of paper. You can open it later.
Okay, good.
The other question, in terms of good design advice, it's going to have to be Arial, great typeface, or greatest typeface ever.
Ooh. And we will also have you write down the answer to that.
Okay.
We'll put these in sealed envelopes. So it's Arial, is it a great typeface, or the greatest typeface ever?
Right.
This is hard. I mean, if any listeners out there want to chime in on this, And I guess if you don't think it's the greatest typeface ever, you actually have to say what is, which is going to be hard because it means you have to top it.
Right.
Okay. Right. Okay. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Okay. Well, you're saying you're moving forward on ballot designs, like online next? Is that what the Design for Democracy is doing?
We are, yeah. Next efforts are a project we're calling Anywhere Ballot, which we've been doing some grant-funded work on.
Will this allow me to vote more often?
Yes, several times per election.
Okay.
No, it won't, Donovan. I'm afraid that's against federal law. But what it is an online ballot interface, so you could
I put in a lot of effort to vote once. I don't need to put in the effort to vote more than
this will make it so easy. You'll want to do it more than one time.
Okay.
Online ballot marking interface. So this would be a user interface that you'd pull up on a smartphone, on your computer, so on and so forth, and make ballot selections. Now, there are a lot of laws in place in states across the country that are going to keep you from being able to say, submit my ballot with a button click online, but this would alleviate the process of you going into a polling place and filling out ovals or punching holes and whatnot. You can make all your selections online, either print out a completed ballot or literally print out a QR code you could take into a polling place and turn it into your ballot.
So like most ballot things, this doesn't sound like it's going to be implemented by October or November.
I would say unlikely that it would be. Now, we are working closely with the state of Oregon to implement this Anywhere Ballot online for their overseas and military voters. There is a tiny chance that by this November, this interface would be in place for the system. They're allowing those overseas people to vote. Even that's a little bit unlikely because, as you know, the gears of government turn very slowly.
Well, I'm going to throw out two words that I think will make this online ballot really, really dynamic, and that is animated GIFs or GIFs, depending on how you want to say it.
That is a good point. You know, we had not really thought about that to date, but it gives us something
to test. I'm sure you guys are thinking, you know, if you got a photo of the candidate, then it'd be easier than just their name because they could see who they're voting for. But I'm thinking if they're animated GIF files of these candidates.
That is a good idea.
Okay.
Tell you what, I'm going to see if I can work that into a grant so we can usability test it in the next sessions.
Yeah, and I'll just take my usual, you know, 30% fee or whatever you think is right.
You got it.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you in October up at the big podium for the national conference. I'll be there blogging for ninapaperblog.com at the same time.
I'll be the one standing in the background while Sean Adams is up at the podium in the limelight.
Okay. And we look forward to seeing you there. Hopefully, we're planning on doing daily recaps again. So if you don't have the paparazzi surrounding you, we'll hopefully get you on mic. I think we got you on mic the last one in Phoenix or whatever it was. To kind of see how it's going, to see the implementation, and to make sure that you're not, you know, overwhelmed by the co-presidency that is national. But no, this is great. I think it's great. Omaha has a national AIGA co-president, which is amazing. I did not think I'd see the day. But
I didn't either, but it's going to be an honor to serve. I appreciate being able to represent AIGA Nebraska chapter at the national level.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show, Drew. We will be back in a couple weeks with the Good Fucking Design Advice guys, unless they're driving it. So if their vehicle breaks down between Kansas City and Omaha, maybe something else will happen. But I have faith, you know, the interstate system here.
They'll be fine.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luders.